Welcome! We are Books and Baddies,
a reader's podcast for hotties who read hot books.
From YA slow burns to all-out monster fucking.
Join us as we break down shame,
embrace sexuality,
chase romance butterflies,
and find joy in literature that calls to us.
If you were that weird kid reading in the back of the classroom,
this podcast is for you!
And you.
And you.
And you. And you.
And
you.
And also you.
For me?
Yes, even you.
What's up? Give me those rapid fire, what are you readings?
I'm Lindsay, and I'm rereading the first Crescent City book.
Hi, I'm Tiff, and I'm currently reading The Narrow Road Between Desires by Patrick Rothfuss.
Love it. Howdy, I'm Kelsey, and I'm reading The Witch Collector by Carissa Weeks. I'm loving it so far. I might convince all the baddies to read it with me later.
Yay. Hmm. Just like Outlander.
Sorry.
And hi, I'm Cross, and I'm reading Demon in White by Christopher Rocchio and Yellow Face by R.F. Kuang.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear about that. That one's on my TBR.
Same.
I'm loving both of them. They're both very great for very different reasons, but Yellow Face is primo.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Welcome back, baddies.
And daddy.
Backstreet's back.
All right.
And we've got something special.
Hades and Persephone.
I have been waiting for this episode, waiting so patiently because we all love retellings of Hades and Persephone.
Because it's Hades and Persephone!
Arguably the best thing to get retold.
You're like, who doesn't love Greek mythology?
It is classic.
Perfection.
A delight.
So I have to interject because I actually have a Hades and Persephone tattoo. It's of a hand holding a juicy pomegranate, and it's located on my arm.
Hot. Ooh. How juicy.
Oh, it's so juicy. It's dripping everywhere. but basically what I'm saying is y'all know how excited I am for this one. And I also need to call it as I see it, because are all the queer baddies on this episode?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, queen.
What the fuck is up with the Greek mythology to queer pipeline?
Can confirm that if you liked Greek mythology in your adolescence or like any developmental period in your life, you're probably at least a little bit gay now.
Correct. If you liked Greek mythology as a kid, your Spotify rap told you should move to Burlington, Vermont. That's what I'm hearing.
Wait, I liked Greek mythology and I'm not queer.
You are now, Crossland. Come on.
Welcome. Welcome to the party. We're happy to have you.
Oh. Thanks.
This is Crossland's coming out. You're welcome.
Bonus episode.
We drag him kicking and screaming out of the closet that he was never in.
Subscribe on Patreon.
But really, like, reading Percy Jackson in middle school by Rick Riordan was like such a part of my sexual awakening. I feel like when you read Percy Jackson, you're instantly both in love with Percy and Annabeth at the same time. And you get both of them being in love with each other immediately. Because you're like, yeah, same.
It's like the universal bisexual experience. Also, random thought. Is Percy Jackson why Katie Robert made the Dark Olympus series? Do you think she just read it with the rest of us, too?
Is Dark Olympus Percy Jackson fan fiction? I think that's the hard-hitting question.
So we've got Dark Olympus is like going and popular right now, right? So is that why the Percy Jackson show is getting made finally? Like, and well?
Tiff, you may be onto something. You know, leave it to like smutty Greek mythology retellings to give us a children's show about kids of Greek gods. Totally making the connection. Absolutely, yes. Also, I need to interject because I don't know if you guys know this, but I met Katie at a book signing once. So we're obviously like best friends now.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to need everyone to hold on really quick while I call Kelsey's close personal friend, Katie Robert, to ask her how she feels about Percy Jackson and whether or not it is fan fiction.
Yeah, just tell her Kelsey sent you. She's going to totally remember who I am and like absolutely know that we're best friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a very good conversation. Right. Okay. If you haven't gathered, today we're talking about books that are retellings of a classic Greek myth. It's the love story of Hades, god of the underworld, and Persephone, Persephone, Percy girl, the goddess of spring.
Do you know what time it is?
What time is it, Tiff?
I think that it's time for Wikipedia Mommy to make an appearance.
Yes, summon her.
Summon.
I'm here. By the way, Cross, I have a question for you. Can you validate parking for my chariot? Do you mind?
How many spaces did you take up?
I have a whole fleet of horses, so like 2 city blocks.
Got it.
You're also in the cop right reserved spot too.
I'm like, I don't know how chariots work. Actually,
and,
no, I don't think you need
spot. It's really rude.
And the pregnant and the veteran spot.
Okay. Well, anyway, let me get into. Thank you. I'll send you the bill. I'll send you the ticket and the bill. But let's get into the background. I did my Wikipedia research. I'm ready to dive in. First note, the Hades and Persephone story is from Greek mythology, as previously mentioned, but the tale can also be found in Roman mythology, too.
Are their names the same in Roman mythology, or are they different?
Oh, I love an engaged audience. Thank you, Lindsay. In Roman
but
Roman
I love a praise mythology. Thank you.
In Roman mythology, Persephone is called Proserpina. I should have listened to the spelling of that or like the pronunciation of that, but I was just like raw dogging Wikipedia because again, I'm Wikipedia mommy, not hot. Deep research mommy. Proserpina or Proserpine, I think is the other way to pronounce it. And then Hades in Roman mythology is Pluto or Dis. I think it's Dis.
I hope it's D-I-S. D-I-S.
I hope it'd be great Dis. If it was Dis. But I have no idea.
It's Dis.
What?
It is Dis.
Nuts.
Okay. Nice. Dis nuts, Hades. But anyway, we're going to stick with the Greek names because they're more popular. There's also just to mention some differences between the two mythologies, between Greek and Roman mythology. But before we dive into like any of that, I want to get some background on our lovers down. As Lindsay so graciously and beautifully mentioned, I'm going to keep praising you because you deserve it.
Yes. Thanks, mommy.
Hades is the king of the underworld. And basically that means he's in charge of the dead.
Hot.
So hot. So hot. And Persephone is the goddess of spring. Her mother is Demeter. And she's the goddess of the harvest and agriculture. So they're little grower girlies up on Earth's surface.
So cottagecore.
I think, speaking of core, isn't Persephone's name also core? Which is a like maiden in Greek, right?
That was a great transition. I love that. It was beautiful, too.
Thank you for setting me up for the spike, Lindsay.
Hell yeah. Praise me.
All right. Well, now for our tale. In Greek mythology, it basically starts when Hades spots Persephone in a field and falls in love with her.
Insta-love. Love at first sight. Always healthy. Never goes wrong.
Never.
So fueled by desire, Hades kidnaps Persephone and brings her back to the underworld with him to be his wife. There are varying degrees of, let us say, violence in this part of the myth. Some of the kidnapping is relatively tame, but in other retellings, it can get really rough and violent. That roughness is encapsulated in an art piece that I personally really love and remember studying. It's a 1620s Italian statue called The Rape of Proserpina, or a more accurate translation, actually. So you probably heard that first name, but the actual translation is The Abduction of Proserpina, because like leave it to the patriarchy to mistranslate something and then have the worst thing stick, because you know, why not make it worse,
the worst possible option,
the worst.
Like, couldn't get worse. But anyway, I do really love this piece of art. It's stunning. It's a really beautiful encapsulation of like the fear and violence of that version of the myth. It's crazy what these artists can turn like stone into. It's just nuts. But anyway, sidebar out of my art minor aside, another note about the kidnapping is that in some versions, Zeus, who's king of the gods, is in on it. And he actually allows Hades to take Persephone behind her mother Demeter's back.
Naughty, sneaky little bitch Zeus.
Yeah, he's fuck Zeus. Respectfully and disrespectfully, because I would.
Respectfully and also, disrespectfully.
Yes, both of them. But anyway, after Hades has taken Persephone to the underworld, Demeter understandably misses her daughter and searches everywhere for her. Wanting to return her to their home in the fields. Blinded by this loss, Demeter lets the crops in the fields of Earth grow barren, leaving humans to suffer and starve and not be happy, angry little humans. So they turn to Zeus with their strife. They complain to him about it. And so he relents and demands that Hades return Persephone to her mother.
Man, he just loves to meddle, huh? Was he bored? All he has to do is rule the entire world. Not enough for anybody.
So Hades agrees because it's Zeus. So he agrees to return his bride. But it really isn't that simple. So Persephone has eaten pomegranate seeds from the underworld. And therefore, she's bound to stay in Hades' domain for half of the year. In some versions of the tale, Hades had tricked her into eating those pomegranate seeds and becoming trapped with him. But in others, the two have fallen in love over time together, and Persephone agrees to eat the seeds to still be able to be with him.
I'm pro the story where they fall in love and not the one where Hades tricks Persephone. I think she's too smart for that.
I agree. Fully agree.
I think Ovid's Metamorphos has them actually, which is one of the many origin tales of Hades and Persephone, actually does. It isn't a trick. It is actual love, which is one of like the three core retellings.
It's beautiful. Yeah. There's a lot of different. It's definitely not only dark. And I think that's why we love it so much, which we'll get into that later. I don't want to get into it now.
Spoilers.
No spoilers.
But the myth is sort of this like representation of seasons, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, Lindsay, exactly. You were just such a good girl knowing these things.
Oh, I needed this tonight. Thank you. Well, right, when Persephone's on Earth with her mother, it's like spring and summer. But then when she returns to the underworld with Hades, it's more fall and winter. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really kind of like just in the end, Hades and Demeter are like time sharing Persephone.
Like a beach house?
Yeah, this is Persephone's job. She's just beach house.
Did you know that they're rebranding timeshares to be called vacation clubs for millennials? Because millennials weren't paying into timeshares often enough.
Yes.
So beware of the millennial vacation club. It's just the timeshare.
It's also That's... being used to trick Gen X. And I know this because my parents almost fell for it.
I'm so sorry.
They didn't. Oops. They didn't. They didn't I'm get proud sucked of them. In, but they almost did.
Saved, like,
this sounds
at the
like
end.
A timeshare. And they were like, you're right, it does.
Okay, well, back to our lovebirds. Y'all, I just have to say, this is such... And I meant Hades and Persephone as the lovebirds, just to clarify.
Not
just
parents.
I appreciate you clarifying it's not my parents.
Yeah, not your parents. I'm sure they're in love. Good for them. but anyway, I'm so sorry. Hades and Persephone is such a common retelling that Wikipedia has its own section on retellings.
Of course Wiki Mommy knows that.
Girl, you know I do. And Wikipedia also mentions some of the books we're going to talk about in today's episode. That includes A Touch of Darkness by Scarlett St. Clair, Neon Gods by Katie Robert, and Lore Olympus by Rachel Smith.
And we all love Touch of Darkness so much that we're making Addie and Mary, our sweet little beans, read it for the first time. Since they somehow haven't yet, they made it to the year of our society, 2023, and have not yet read Touch of Darkness. So we won't be talking about that one here. But please, please, please know that we are obsessed with Scarlett St. Clair and her spicy modern Hades and Persephone retelling, and we cannot wait to talk about it with y'all. And you should read it before the episode, and you can enjoy it for the first time too, just like Addie and Mary.
It's so crazy to me that they haven't read it already. Like,
how dare
I thought
they?
That those were like entry level, like getting into books in the 2020s ish. Like,
fucking embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. It's such straight culture.
Kick them off God, the podcast, honestly.
We're saving the heteros one book at a time.
That's really the mission statement of Books and Baddies.
Change our tagline. Let's go.
Cross, can we do that?
Sure.
Sick. Awesome. Thanks. All right. Now we've got the background down. Let's get into why Hades and Persephone retellings are so beloved, if we can.
Yay. Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to start because I'm excited. Okay. I think one of the reasons people like it is just because it's so familiar. We all know what's going to happen, but there's enough room for creativity because you can retell it in so many different ways. Like, some of those retellings are like retellings in the loosest sense of the word. Like, it just so happens that the characters are named that. There's not a lot of like Greek godliness happening, but it's fun and you know what to expect.
Totally. It's almost like this sort of elevated fan fiction. I mean, really, it is. It's like historical fan fiction in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Question, is all historical fiction just historical fan fiction? And should we rebrand the genre? I vote yes. Anyway, yes. Authors and creators have the freedom to sort of reimagine this myth in various settings and time periods, which really allows for this creative world building and the exploration of different cultural and societal norms through a super comfortable framework. And that's where I think we get a lot of these awesome retellings that we love so much.
Yeah, and they know that their readers are comfortable with it too because we love it so damn much. We're ready for it.
I've noticed that a lot of retellings are like a deeper kind of grumpy sunshine enemies to lovers thing plus magic, which is like, that makes sense because it almost literally is grumpy sunshine like blueprint
yeah, like Persephone is literally the goddess of spring and Hades right. is the god of death. They're just like that grumpy sunshine.
It's a cozy couple, you know, familiarity with a cozy couple is just so, so nice. A cozy couple that you trust, you know what you're getting into, but you just want to see how it gets there and enjoy the journey.
Love.
10 out of 10. We'll always read.
Well, and there's those looser interpretations too that you mentioned, Tiff, earlier. Think of like Feyre and Rhys in, it's Rhys, right? Fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get canceled. I read it as Rhys because I think Rhys yeah. sounds dumb.
Okay. I did rice the first time, so like, yeah, don't same. Worry.
I also thought it was rice for a long time.
Rhys and then rice and. Anyway.
We mm-hmm. should honestly mm-hmm. just leave this in because it's yeah. too real.
Leave it in, Steven. Don't cut
leave it in, Steven.
I'm speaking brave for the people. So there are those looser interpretations too. You got Feyre and Rhys, Rhys, whatever you call him, in Sarah J. Maas's A Court of Mist and Fury, or Bella and Edward in Stephanie Meyer's Twilight. Baddies, do we prefer loose butthole or tight butthole interpretations of H&P?
I want both buttholes, please.
Ah, yes, that classic Hades Persephone butthole analogy.
Look, these baddies love all buttholes. And as far as a loose retelling goes, I do love how obvious, but like not obvious it is in A Court of Mist and Fury, right? It's so subtle, but all the tells are there. Oh.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at balls. Can't stop laughing about it. I just love that this is the analogy that we're going with, and I'm signed in. I'm full,
who wrote,
fully
who wrote
invested.
This analogy part?
Me. Booty's rocking everywhere.
You're brilliant. I love you.
All right. Okay, I'm pulling it together. All right. Okay, but really, genuinely, we cannot overemphasize how Rhys, who's a man bat, literally steals the bride of the Spring King and takes her to his night town TM that everyone thinks is an underground in the mountain like lair. So, like, Funky it makes town. Sense.
Yeah. Rhys is the Hades character, like, once again, who is this huge softy. Like, he's a man bat. And like a literal monster at some points, but he's this huge softy who's like taking care of all of these people who have nowhere else to go, and he calls them the dreamers, and aww. It's a lot like Hades taking care of the dead and ushering them into the next phases of their existence.
Or a cult. Like, I feel like dreamers would be something you can tell people to become, so they join your MLM. Like, hey, Katie, wanna be a dreamer?
Hey, hon. Do you want to dream with me in a court of starlight?
Have I got a new health supplement straight from the Illyrian war camps for you?
100%. No, but I'm so with you there. I mean, I am glad that homeboy doesn't end up like super moody, right? That's a nice change. Sometimes the Hades stand-in ends up moody the whole time, and Rhys Rhys Rice just becomes a sweet little cinnamon bun, and I appreciate that.
You know who is a moody king, though, who I love? Ooh. Edward goddamn Cullen. Midnight Sun has a pomegranate on the cover, and Edward is, like, being his full moody-ass self, thinking about pomegranate seeds as Bella eats mushroom raviolis and, like, chugs Coke in a dark restaurant. And he's, like, out here making himself Hades-coded on purpose. Like, he heard the story of Hades, and he was like, that's me. I'm so deep and intense. It's so funny, and it's so extra. I love it.
Edward is just way too depressy spaghetti for that. But like, in this case, Bella does, you know, represent life or spring, and Edward is death/undead. Stephanie's other retelling is literally called Life and Death. This is a book that she rewrote Twilight and gender swapped everyone. And so she's literally going with the like Hades, Persephone, Life and Death like title in this entire case too. Like, Miss Meyer, we know you're Mormon, but damn, you do have a Greek mythology kink. We mm-hmm. can see it.
Do we think that Stephanie is a part of the Greek mythology to queer pipeline?
Oh God, I wish.
I mean, if she is, she's certainly in the closet, and I respect that. I respect your space.
I mean, deep in the closet. She's far back, like in the pile of socks you forgot existed in the corner. Like,
sounds smelly, Stephanie. Come out. Come hang out.
Come hang
Come
out.
Be on our podcast.
It's fun out here.
True.
Okay, so I would like to take a second. I know that it's not in our normal wheelhouse of books and occasionally like movie counterparts, but I would like to briefly talk about a video game. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I specific like, okay, shocker. I want to talk about Hades. Hades is this spectacular, wonderful game. By the way, before we like super get into it, I need everybody, including all of our listeners, to just quick Google Hades game gods and try to honestly tell me that you wouldn't bang every single one of them.
All of them.
I will wait.
We can hear my loud keyboard. Ready?
Ready.
We can't hear your loud keyboard.
Damn it. I bought it specifically so it makes the loud sounds. No, Steven, turn it up.
Okay, but Tiff has sent us photos before, and I can confirm they are very sexy. They are so sexy.
They are incredibly sexy. So Persephone is like why the game exists. We will be getting into spoilers about Hades. So if you have not played Hades and you want to, suck it up.
You should do it. I fucking love this game. I'm terrible at it and I mostly just button smash, but there's like bumper rails so that you can just do that and get better and better and have no idea what you're doing. Everybody's hot. Everybody play it.
Mm-hmm. Everybody play it, even if you get mad at it. Like I am notoriously not a fan of these kinds of games, but I love this one. So like other than like just looking at sexy gods, the whole game is about Zagreus, who's Hades' son, trying to get out of the underworld to find Persephone. And you come to find out that she's super beloved in the underworld. And like she has this secret garden that she keeps because, you know, Hades has all of the fancy magic in the underworld. And Hades is so obsessed with this woman and he's so cranky and grumpy that she's not there, that like he walls it off and it's like a locked area of the game. And then when you get Persephone to come back, she like it opens up and you get to see like this whole extra little area in the game that is this beautiful little garden that he was keeping for her. And he's like grumpy and stuff, but it's in like a non-toxic way and in a more like, oh, I do love my son kind of way. It's really, really sweet and nice.
It's so true. It's so cute. The grumpiness is so cute because it becomes non-toxic grumpy, and we always love that. Which leads me to the question of if this video game has done so well, which it has, not if, it has done so well, how do we not have a Hades and Persephone movie, or at least a successful one? Unless you count Twilight.
Lindsay, this is like my soapbox, because there's like there's a fucking movie about every subject and Greek myth under the goddamn sun. And there's two called just Clash of Titans. Like, who knows the difference between those fucking stupid things?
And remember the Titans.
Yeah, and whatever about the fucking Titans. But how is there not a Hades and Persephone rom-com or like drama romance or just fucking anything? Like, how?
Literally anything. And there's tons of opera out there about Orpheus and Eurydice, Orfeo and Eurydice. But, you know, like, no well-known Hades and Persephone, no well-known Orpheus and Eurydice book tellings.
Okay. Actually, Katie Roberts' Midnight Rune is a Eurydice and Orpheus and Karen. Is it Karen or Sharon?
Karen. Isn't that Karen. Unfortunate?
That's too bad. It's so really sad. Unfortunate. He's, Karen's name is Karen.
He's the one who ushers people to paradise, and he has the name of an angry mom at a Target.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I feel like Katie Robert probably had fun with that, you know, my bestie for life. But her next book in the Neon Gods series, Midnight Rune, I think it's like 5 or 6, I should know this, it's coming out in January, but it's a throuple between Eurydice, Orpheus, and Charon. Hot, love it. There's also Savar Miller's book, Vipers and Virtuosos, which is a loose retelling with the themes of like dark rock romance.
Love.
So go read, baddies.
Go forth.
Awesome.
Conquer.
Okay. So, like, not to go full Star Wars slut in the Greek mythology episode.
But you will absolutely be going full Star Wars slut in this episode, won't you?
Yes.
All hail Neon Nub.
Yes. Perfect. Excellent. All right. So, like, okay. I kind of feel like you could argue that Anakin and Padme could be a Hades Persephone, like, coded couple. Especially with, like, their growing up. Because Padme is from this beautiful, idyllic, perfect place where most people are like artists or like do things for fun. Like they're for fun, like hobby farmers. And Anakin is literally born enslaved.
Well, I'm going to throw in an opinion as someone who has maybe only watched Star Wars all the way through like twice because I'm an Aries and I like to fight. I don't know if I'm on board with that idea, Tiff. But that's only because from what I remember watching it, their romance and story like isn't told in the same way to me as the Hades Persephone's tale, just in my opinion. Like, he only falls to darkness at the end, right? As far as I remember it.
I mean, kind of. He, like, there's always this undercurrent of darkness with him. Mm. Like, he slaughters an entire village of sentient beings as revenge. And, like, a couple of scenes later is the first time that Padme says that she loves him. And it's this huge pivotal moment in their relationship. It's like he's going back to try to find his mom. There's a lot happening. But, like, the darkness is kind of undercurrent throughout their whole relationship.
Hmm. That was a pretty tame fight for my two Aries friends. I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud like, of us yes, too.
Concur. I mean, Tim knows way more than I do, so I'm just gonna submit to her opinions.
We all submit to the Tiff. But that's so valid, you know. Get you a man who hates sand and kills a village to get your attention because he's sad. Maybe stay away from the ones killing toddlers. But you know. Up to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're looking for King of the Underworld dark, not like murdering babies dark. I don't know if you guys agree, but that's my thought. Speaking of dark and the darkness, the dark side, one of the reasons I personally love Hades and Persephone retelling so much is that I just fucking love a dark villain as a love interest.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. There's something about like that coveting jealousness. Like, I'm so obsessed with a man that goes, like, feral for their partner. And he wants her just, like, so, so, so bad. And he can't, like, help himself. But, like, not in a weird, problematic, I should talk to a therapist kind of way.
100%. And there's, like, definitely no religious undertones or trauma aspect to loving a man who covets hard.
No, definitely absolutely not.
There is. There are. Yes, yes,
no,
yes.
No, for sure yes, not.
Yes, no, no, yes, no, no, absolutely. No, no, no,
no. This is going to get more heated than the Star Wars argument.
But hey, as leader of the Weird Kids Starter Pack, I do love that Hades tends to be misunderstood. I love a good misunderstood boy. He's usually just like trying his best in all of these retellings, but somehow mislabeled as mean while being like a super nice softy boy on the inside. And look, my resting bitch face understands.
Oh, yes. There's some kind of like danger aspect to it, too. Will he kill me or will he kiss me? Maybe both. I'm fine with either. Maybe he'll choke me and punish me, but it'll be like super gentle and kind of healing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Speaking of religious trauma.
Yeah. Nailed it, girly. Anyway, I want to mention a fave retelling of mine. It's called A Deal with the Elf King. It's by Elise Kova. In this book, the Hades character, who's the Elf King, is really misunderstood as evil. He takes a human bride named Luella from the nearby village.
Luella? What year does this book take place? And why does that name give me the ick?
It's deaf, like fantasy in an unknown year. But think human village across the wall of magical elf world, if that helps set the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Luella is a total sweetheart. To Luella and her people, I'm going to just keep saying Luella to give you the egg over and over
it's
again.
Working.
I praised you enough.
You're doing great job.
Canceling out all the work from the praise earlier.
No, we got to undo. We got to get you leveled back. But to Luella and her people, it's basically seen as a death sentence to leave to go to the Elf King's world. But we, through the book, find out that the Elf King takes her to actually help save his dying world. He's not that horrible, dark, evil elf the village thinks he is. He's something totally different. And during their time together, Luella learns that the king is really sweet and soft and kind and cute, and they totally fall in love with each other.
You've almost drawn me back in. The main character's name is Luella. Is it spicy at all? I feel like with the name Luella, you can't get spicy, right?
It is a slow burn, so I'd say it's more steamy rather than spicy. There's only one sex scene, if I'm remembering correctly. But it is absolutely worth it. I loved this book and I loved the author. Elise Kova writes beautiful romanticy and a lot of her books are on Kindle Unlimited. So,
ooh, hell yeah, we love a KU read. Maybe I'll give it a go. Mm-hmm. I do need a good palate cleanser every now and then. And, you know, it's good to keep it clean sometimes.
Truly, on those rare occasions. And if I like a clean book, it's saying something because normally
true.
I need like six
that's
tentacles
really true.
And a tail to be entertained. So
true.
I do recommend it. Yeah, and there's something lovely about many Hades and Persephone tellings where the Persephone character represents innocence, like mm-hmm. the one in A Deal with the Elf King. And for me, like, a lot of retellings center on Persephone learning, growing, and coming into herself. And I just think that's really beautiful.
Yes, we love a growth narrative. And I do think sometimes this can edge into, like, big strong man shows little girl how the world works, which I don't super love, but we'll go to bat for.
I do love that sometimes, but that's my daddy kink, I think.
I mean, oh, it can be so cringe, like, if it's not done right, you know, unless they're both teaching each other something or, like, daddy moments. But I don't know if I can do full send daddy in the way that you can.
I think that Hades just screams daddy on his own. Like, I think that Hades is daddy. I really appreciate that some of the other stories that you're talking about, Kelsey, really emphasize agency and empowerment. My immediate thought is about Touch of Darkness, where Persephone grows from being under her mother's expectations and, like, under her mother's wing and kind of afraid of that. And she grows a lot into, like, her own person and into her own agency.
Yeah, Persephone makes for a very strong and complex female character because she's simultaneously this strong-willed powerhouse of a woman who breaks expectations and tries to break intergenerational trauma, but she's also looking for a soft place to land.
So long as it's on her terms, which I love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about, like, in Lore Olympus, the webtoon by Rachel Smith, when Persephone chooses to intern in the underworld, it's really about her making decisions for herself and finding out what she wants for her own life. In that retelling, her mom has her, like, super secluded and hidden away and, like, cut off from the rest of the world. So the whole thing is this huge coming of age story, and you can see it. Like, you actually get to visually see the characters since it's a graphic novel on Webtoon. And even in things like her appearance and the clothes that she gets for herself, like, you see her becoming her own person. Also, I just want to drop real fast that Rachel Smith is on social media and her handle is Used Band-Aid, and I think mm-hmm. that's funny.
It's the best.
I fucking love Rachel Smith and I fucking love Lore Olympus. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil too much because the series has been going on for ages, but Persephone's relationship with her mom Demeter is fascinating to me. How she learns to navigate standing up for herself is really empowering. And while Hades is there to support her, it's on Persephone's terms, and Rachel Smith just totally nails it.
Absolutely nails it. Like, every time, out of the park. Lore Olympus was for sure my comfort read while in grad school because it's so gorgeous and it's so cozy and you fall in love with the art and the characters and everything. She also sometimes features lesser known composers in her work in the online original version if you have the Webtoon app. And the music is just so, so good and, like, ambient, but also heart-wrenching, which I didn't know was a possible genre of music to create. But I just remember her sobbing so many times reading it because the story really resonated with me. And maybe that was grad school. Maybe that was me unpacking something. Little of A, little of B. But either way, it's gorgeous. It's complex. It's an absolute work of art. And everybody should read it, especially if you aren't somebody who's used to graphic novels or webtoons or whatever. Give it a shot. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. One of the best, yeah. In my opinion.
Yes. Yeah, so, so, so good. Read it. Read it. Read it. Read it.
We also see this coming of age narrative that you guys brought up in Persephone's sexual exploration, right? I think the sheltered upbringing to empowered woman coming of age story pipeline is very relatable to a lot of us, especially where sexuality is concerned, and especially in the special Queer Baddies episode.
absolutely agree.
All right. First book coming to mind, obviously, is by Kelsey's other best friend, Katie Robert, and their excellent, excellent retelling, Neon Gods.
Oh, yes, my close personal friend. So glad we're bringing them up, like, yet again.
Yeah, let's see how many times we can name drop Katie in the show as a whole.
My goal is to do it enough that they notice our podcast and I turn my, like, in my head friendship into a real life friendship. That's the goal. I'm setting it down. It's recorded. It's going to happen now.
Or at least an internet friendship.
That's all I need.
The best kind of friendship.
Manifest that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. One like thread tagging us. That's all yes. I want.
Please, Katie. Please.
Please, Katie. Please. That whole book, which was the first Katie Robert book that I read, is all about Persephone fleeing her overbearing mother to the underworld. And she ends up with Hades and having exhibitionist sex on a throne in a sex club that is owned Woo! By Hades. Mm-hmm. And that was the first Katie Robert book I read. And I read it in 3 hours on a plane because I was so sucked in.
It's so did good.
It's so good.
Kelsey, what were you
did saying? Your plane? I was going to say, did your seat get a little wet, girl? Like, you're sitting on the plane reading that. Damn.
I am not at liberty to discuss what happened to me on that particular Spirit Airlines flight.
That feels right for Spirit.
It does. That's fine. Yeah. Like, the vibe makes sense now, and I'm cool with it again.
But Tiff, you're totally spot on. Persephone goes from like being told that she's going to marry Zeus and having her whole life planned out for her by her mom to choosing to bare her whole self quite literally and figuratively to strangers at the sex club and be like vulnerable, and it's weirdly beautiful, and Hades is super supportive, and it's awesome.
That's yes. Nice. Okay, and I have to interject. This isn't a Hades and Persephone retelling by any means, but Kitty Robert also has a book called Learn My Lesson in their Wicked Villain series. It's a Disney villain retelling. And in that book, there's a thruple of Hades, Megara, and Hercules, where this Hades also owns a sex club. Mm-hmm. So there's no Persephone in this one, but like sexual exploration and Hades go hand in hand.
Is this like the same universe Hades as the Hades in Neon Gods, or is this a different Hades?
Nope, it's totally different, but random fact, oddly enough, both Hades are technically in the same world. It's not at all relevant to the story by any means, but Katie has confirmed that the worlds in both of those series are technically in the same universe. The Hercules in the thruple in Learn My Lesson is actually the son of Zeus from Neon Gods. He basically got out of Olympus and ran away to fall in love with other Hades and Megara.
So it's like when you had like two Sarahs in your class growing up, but the Sarahs are Hades. There's just a lot of parents naming their little kid Hades at some point. Interesting choice. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like there's like a metaverse. Are the Avengers gonna show up? What's gonna happen next, Katie?
It's like metaverse adjacent. I guess
or do they all like speak in zippy one-liners? Does Hades come in with like a fart joke as soon as the book starts being marginally serious? Like, what does this look like?
No. It's not annoying, I promise. It's more of metaverse adjacent, sort of like how Sarah J. Maas makes things metaverse adjacent. But rumor has it that Katie had a Hades and Hades reunion in one of her newsletters, but I cannot find it, and I'm still searching for it. Like, I need it
update
so bad. I'm on her newsletter list, and the second I find it, I will let you know.
Please yes, do.
Please. Oh my God. So moving to the next like book that I think of when I think about this kind of retelling, I also think about Promises and Pomegranates by Savar Miller. It's barely a retelling. It is just, it's one of those that like the names happen to be the character names. It is just barely a retelling, but my God, is it sexy.
The character names are not Hades and Persephone. They have different names. Like, they don't even have, it's Cal and Elena, which I think we'll get to. But I think to give us a little refresher of my favorite thing that Lindsay said at the top of the episode is we're going to put this in the loose butthole retelling category.
And remember, we stan all buttholes here. It's a safe place for all buttholes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The Hades character is Cal, and he's a doctor for the mafia. And then Elena is Persephone. That's right. And that's his boss's sweet summer daughter. And also Cal is super obsessed with her, from what I remember. It is literally barely a retelling. It is mafia smut. It's fun. It's delightful. And some of the themes that we mentioned are in this. But it's great. It's fun.
It counts. Again, love a loose butthole.
Love a loose butthole retelling.
I have a really obscure retelling that I really loved. It's called King of Shadows. It's by Amelia Wilde. I found it randomly on Stuff Your Kindle Day, and it's a fascinating retelling. The Hades in this book is a ruthless businessman who owns a diamond mine and a mountain, and Persephone lives with her overbearing mother out in the fields. She dreams of freedom, and her way out is a bargain with this dark Hades. It's a retelling that leans heavily on sexual exploration and self-empowerment. And in this one, Hades is dark, 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 like so super dark. He once says to her, and I quote, "Don't hide your tears from me. I want to see them all."
Ooh.
Creepy, but hot. Also reminiscent of the time that Edward Cullen ate one of Bella's tears for fun.
Oh, one more thing I think I need to mention. We spoke earlier about the pomegranate Persephone eats that binds her to the underworld. In the retellings that include it, often Persephone eats it of her own free will, either to gain knowledge and power to bind herself to the underworld and Hades because she cares for him. But in the very original myth, Hades tricked her into eating it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about baddies and daddy, but I find a lot of parallels between that original story and Eve eating the apple from the tree of knowledge in the Bible.
Mm, religious.
So in the story, I know, right? Getting on my religious deconstruction soapbox to dive into the book of Genesis. But in this story, Lucifer or the devil dressed as a snake and tricked Eve into eating the apple. Both the pomegranate and the apple represent discovery after they're consumed and also binding. The pomegranate binds Persephone to the underworld, where the apple locks Eve out of the Garden of Eden.
Stephanie Meyer did put an apple on the cover of Twilight and a pomegranate on the cover of Midnight Sun. So tracking with her Mormonism and her Greek fetish, this all tracks pretty well.
Yes. Yeah, for me, it's just really interesting to see how the Jewish Torah and later Christian Bible both borrowed and, in my opinion, misconstrued that tale. In Greek mythology, Hades is not inherently evil. And years later, we as readers and media consumers have found a love story in the Hades and Persephone tale, even with all that mess that happens in those original mythologies. But like, you don't see anyone writing Adam and Eve fan fiction or retellings now. Like, you just don't.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I'm sure Addie could find it.
Well, that's true.
Do you think that her like ear pricked up like a literal golden retriever just now?
I'm gonna text her and ask.
Probably did. She's like, there's this many tags with it. We'll have her
texting her immediately.
Yeah. See what she says.
Maybe it'd be different though if Eve fell in love with Lucifer and not the human with the fig leaf on his dick. Like, I feel like that might have changed things a little bit.
No, you have a point. Snakes are just way sexier than Adam. And also, I don't know, maybe there's more stories about like Lilith and Lucifer. We just like those dark boys. Mm. It probably goes all back to, you know, why we love these retellings anyway. Hot villains are just better.
True. We should get that on a t-shirt.
We should. I'd wear it.
There are so many t-shirts in this episode.
There's a lot
just
of
random
yeah.
dumb shit we're saying.
We're just turning into a drop shipping business, I think.
perfect.
No, but seriously, there are so many awesome books and so many way more retellings that we didn't even have time to touch on or that we haven't even, you know, read or brought up in this podcast. If you've read any of them, we would love to hear from you. Please let us know and let us know what you thought about them too, better or worse. But here are a few we do know. I'm going to read them all as fast as humanly possible. Corbray, Brosia, R. Harris on Kelsey's TBR, The Hades Trials by Eliza Ray, The Maiden and the Unseen by Lexis Root and Jeanette Rose, The Goddess Test by Amy Carter, The Dark Wife by Sarah Demon Ventures, Orbit, Loose Sci-Fi by Evina Maxwell, Persephone by Caitlin Bevis, Persephone's Orchard by Mari Ringel, The Goddess and Letters by Mar Ogwick, and Abandoned by Meg Cabot. Meg Cabot, really? Abandoned. What is that?
Really?
That was so fast, that and I loved every second fast. Of it.
We love a quickie.
Who put Meg Cabot on here?
I did. I found it. Isn't that crazy? Meg Cabot so wrote a Hades Persephone retelling, and yet we still don't have a fucking movie.
Boo.
Hold on. Her name is Cabot. I genuinely, for my entire life, have been pronouncing it Cabot.
I like that. I have no idea.
It's Cabot. She signed books for me on my 14th birthday because I was obsessed with Avalon High, and she is really funny and has a loud laugh. She is cool.
How many authors can we name drop in an episode that Kelsey has met?
I know. It's like the list is short. I just talk about them a lot.
Look, that's the path to success, honestly.
It's a power move.
Well, anyway, just like Hades kidnapped Persephone, it's time that we kidnap the baddie daddy himself and subject him to torture akin to the shock of Zeus's thunder, the pierce of Artemis's bow, and the sting of Poseidon's trident.
Ooh, pull up to the Colosseum. Oh. Three grown-ass women are about to emotionally beat down our producer Cross for all to see.
Yay.
Woo.
Not again.
Tighten your togas, folks. We're doing this to him anyway, no matter what he says.
Don't worry, though. We made him sign a waiver.
I didn't see a waiver.
Shut up!
Yes, you did.
All right. Oh. All right, Crossland. Welcome to Olympus. The gods run amok. The wine flows red. The lyre is strung. You're a new god on the scene with a very, very obscure magical alignment. First things first. What exactly are you a god of?
I think I am the god of cups.
Will you expand on that?
No, just cups. I what just does like that have mean? A lot of cups. I just have like, and when people raise a cup, they're like, yeah, this probably came from Cross, the god of cups.
And when you put your boobs in your bra cup, one boob at a time, Cross
one
is there,
boob at a time,
holding you safe and secure.
Always.
Jock straps strapped in. Jock we all say cups. Thanks to Crossland for this cup. Cup of my nuts.
Bofa.
Bofa.
Amen. Okay. God of Cups, summer break is here. You have two different opportunities for a summer away brought to you by the twins, Artemis and Apollo. Artemis is goddess of the hunt, wilderness, wild animals, and chastity. She runs a wilderness camp in the woods where you'll discover inner strength and self-love. Apollo, on the other hand, is the god of music, dance, prophecy, and poetry. He runs an artist retreat off the Aegean Sea where you'll explore your sexuality and the gift of self-expression. Where are you going and why?
Ooh. I think the God of Cups has to go with Apollo, right? Because like, I'm going to play my cups. I'm going to hang out. We're going to explore the cups. We're going to fill those cups.
Are you doing like an Anna Kendrick cup song version of playing the cup?
But with like a bunch of different kinds of
that's
cups.
How you summon
like,
him.
We're talking all varieties. Yeah.
Or like Miss Congeniality, like cup song. Yeah, yes. Yeah. You have a lot of options. Yeah. There's more musical abilities with cups than I think I previously realized.
There's all these like famous
Someone's
musicians.
Someone's going to be playing the wine glasses.
Yeah, all these like famous people. And then like Crossland like rolls up with his little cup cart and is like,
I got a ticket for the long way round. Still got a whiskey for the light.
All right. Well, since you've developed your musical abilities with your cups, God of Cups, here's the excitement. You've wowed the masses so much that your cup powers have caught the eye of Zeus. Mm. And you know Zeus, he wants to fuck. he's been hunting you for weeks. This is canon. He does have sex with a lot of people. Mm. So yeah. This is on brand for him. He's been hunting you for weeks, and it's time you make a decision. Do you give in to temptation, God of Cups, or do you choose to sneak away? Explain how in vivid detail.
So I've got like I have more of a why than a how right now, but we're gonna think about this for just a moment. I would say that I probably give in to the temptation as opposed to sneaking away, because if there's one thing as the God of Cups that I want to be remembered, right? And I'm not going to lie, it's pretty obscure being the Lord of the Chalice, as it were. And if the only way that I'm going to be remembered in history is by being named one of Jupiter's many moons, I think I've got to embrace the suck for a little bit and do the fuck.
Suck and fuck.
In a cup. Suck, fuck, in a cup.
Suck, fuck, and a cup.
Woo! All right, so you're choosing to sleep with Zeus. Oops, you're dead. He killed you. But classic. Because you chose to sleep with him, it's you die by his massive peen. He impales you.
It's a gift.
It is a gift. At least you get to enjoy your cupping as you die. So you make your way to the river Styx and you realize, oh no, you don't have a coin to give Charon to cross the river. But he takes pity on you because Zeus killed you and brings you to the throne Big room. Bummer. Who do you plead your case to, Hades or Persephone? And what do you say? Be careful. What you say will determine where they send you. Are you going to be tortured in Tartarus, chilling in Asphodel, or in the paradise of Elysium?
Ooh, well, this is a toughie. You know, talking to having the decision between the pair of them, I would probably go talk to Persephone because, you know, like she gets it. She kind of gets what's going on here. She understands that like she, you know, was taken as like a choice or an option and submitted to that. And I did the same. And so I would plead that I like know that I'm dead and I died, but I would like to be the God of Cups in hell. And I think the only place to do that is in Elysium, because that's where they drink and be merry. Please.
Okay.
Don't put me in Tartarus.
Here we go. We're finding out. I've got my 12-sided die here.
Oh, no.
You play with fate. Let's see
what
happens.
Will be sent to Asphodel.
There's use for cups in Asphodel.
Yeah, you're going to have a merry time cheersing with all the average people. I mean, the rest of us will probably be there. I might be in Tartarus because I'm fucked up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really not. That's not even funny. I'm really just fine. I'm pretty boring. I don't leave my house. It's fine.
I mean,
but you'll be hanging with the rest of us.
Yeah, where could a cup boy go but Asphodel, to be honest?
Really?
Yeah. True. You took your little ass to Asphodel.
You took your little ass to Zeus and to he Asphodel. Impaled Pounded you on it. A dick. And then you took your ass to Asphodel. Mm-hmm. You've done it.
And it all worked out.
And it all worked God out for Cup Boy.
Did you have a good time in Olympus? Did you have fun?
I had a great time in Olympus. It was a nice little trip. I really needed that.
Okay. I really needed to die.
Now I have a moon.
Ass out in Asphodel. Let's get that on a t-shirt.
Ooh, there you go.
Well, team, as members of the Greek mythology to queer pipeline, minus Crossland allegedly, let's take it back to our roots and get into it Percy Jackson style, okay? As a reminder, yes. The Percy Jackson and the Olympian kiddos are all demigods, with one parent who's human and one who is a Greek mythology god or goddess in some part of the pantheon or somewhere, right? So let's take a camp to Half-Blood. Who would you want your Greek god, mommy or daddy, parent to be?
I think that I would want to be in House Hermes. I have this deep psychological need to be able to bail at any moment that I deem appropriate and good. And I think that those winged shoes would be super handy for that. And also, I love travel and gossip. And I feel like that's kind of Hermes' whole bag.
Amen.
I love that for you. I do. I went off script and I'm not going it based off of Camp Half-Blood canon, but I want Hecate. I want Hecate as my mom.
Love.
Okay,
she's so hot and cool. Mm-hmm. Hecate is the goddess of magic, witchcraft, the night, the moon, and necromancy. Like, I just want her to be my mom and teach me how to be like a little baby dark witch, because that sounds so fun.
That does sound fun. I love that. I want Zeus to be my dad. I want to be a Nepo baby. Mm. There's nothing cute behind it. Just give me the perks. I'll deal with the inevitable trauma. I'll deal with the abandonment issues. I'll deal with my dad being a huge fucking creep. But I see what nepotism did for the Jenners and Dakota Johnson and like the little baby Beckham kid who made the shitty photography book. And I want that. Mm-hmm. I want that for me.
I also want that for you.
Thank you.
I love that for you. I did want to bring up, though, Hecate, I believe, is canon as one of the camp cabins in the later series. So
I haven't read the second series.
I want to give you your route.
Thank
so
you.
Technically you are a late edition late cabin.
Yeah, I'm fine. You're I did it right. I listened to directions.
I feel like that's punishable somehow.
Mm-hmm. But it was mansplaining in my favor.
Truly off.
It's acceptable mansplaining because it makes Kelsey right.
Yeah, yes, I celebrate women's wrongs, but I'll allow mansplaining for women's rights. Thank you.
I really didn't read the assignment. And so, as the god of cups streamed to Asphodel, I think I would fall into the family of Thanatos, Hypnos, and Nyx. So what's better than a god, like being the son of a god that doesn't really have like a father to begin with? Like, that's kind of an interesting thing. So I feel like I fall into that. Like quasi dark, I don't have a dad energy that just kind of screams to my soul. Plus, who doesn't like being related to like the peaceful personification of death? You know,
God, you're so goddamn emo, Cross. Jesus, are you okay?
Is your therapist just like rolling in cash? Just
so
like
so much money. Yeah.
Your therapist is the richest therapist in the world.
She's doing great.
All right, thanks, of course, to our therapy going podcast daddy and laddie Cross of Words and Whiskey for keeping us you didn't keep us on track this episode, so I'm not gonna say that.
Not at all.
But also thank you to our editor Steven for making us sound as pretty as we look.
Mostly thank you to Steven.
Yes, thank you to Steven. Check out the links in our show notes. You can find Dar's schedule, Patreon, previous episodes, all the important socials, all in one convenient and easy to locate spot. Remember, hotties can read whatever they want, so chase your bliss, baby baddies.
Bye.
Bye.
Kisses, kisses, kisses.